John chapter 14. And our text for today, in reference to the work and the person of the Holy Spirit, is the verse 26. John 14 and verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, when the Father will send him in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Our subject today is being taught by the Holy Spirit. Taught by the Holy Spirit. It is most humbling when we consider just how much the Lord cares for his people, as seen in the words of the Savior to his disciples. For the Savior would soon be leaving them to go and suffer and bleed and die at that place called Calvary. And following his resurrection, he would spend 40 days with those disciples, after which he would ascend to his Father, there to sit at his right hand. For we know he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And after that period of time in which the Lord spent with his disciples and the disciples spent with him, they would no longer enjoy the physical presence of Christ. But he promised that he would send them another comforter, one to take his place. And he told his disciples, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I may not be able to abide with you physically, but the Holy Spirit, whom we will send, will abide with you forever. John 14, verse 16. So the Savior assured them that he would not leave them alone. He promised in verse 18 of John 14, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. As we pointed out before, those words, I will not leave you comfortless. The word comfortless is the word orphans. And so the Lord said to his disciples, I will not leave you as orphans. Indicating once again the loving care that the Lord Jesus had for his disciples. And that same loving care is the portion of every child of God. The Lord said he would send the Holy Spirit to be our comforter. He said he would send the Holy Spirit to abide with us. Not only abide with us, but to abide in us. And he told them that the Holy Spirit would also lead them and guide them. See the care the Lord took with his disciples? Send the Holy Spirit to comfort them. Send the Holy Spirit to abide with them. Send the Holy Spirit to guide them. Verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. The Lord spoke of the Spirit's guiding. Paul spoke about the Holy Spirit not only guiding, but also leading. For in Romans 8, verse 14, The Apostle Paul said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the Lord sent His Spirit to comfort, to be with us, to lead us, and to guide us. And continuing His loving care of His people, the Savior has sent the Holy Spirit to teach us, to be our teacher, as we have in our text. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things. The Holy Spirit, the Lord says, will teach us all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Lord was not going to let the disciples forget all the teaching that He had given to them during His 3.5 years ministering amongst them. He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Of course, we know that whatever we read between the covers of our Bible is the Word of the Lord. It is the Word, the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of the living God. And so we need the Holy Spirit, yes, to comfort us, to be with us. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us. And we need the Holy Spirit to teach us. He shall teach you all things whatsoever I have said unto you. So when it comes to the study of the Word, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. So what is it to have the Spirit of God teaching us and teaching us the Word? First of all, there needs to be an interest in the Lord's Word. We cannot expect the Spirit of God to be our teacher if we don't have an interest in the Word. And if there is no interest, if today we don't really have a keen interest in our hearts to study the Word, then we need to pray. You need to pray, Lord, give me an interest in Thy Word. I need a deep interest in the Word because I want the Spirit of the Lord to teach me, to reveal to me wondrous things out of God's law. If we want to know more, if we want to learn more of God's Word, then there must be an interest in His Word. The psalmist spoke about the man who had a great interest in God's Word because he said, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. Now there is the testimony of someone who has an interest in the Word because he meditates in that Word day and night. This speaks to us, first of all, with regard to having an interest in the Word, we need to have a hunger for the Word. The psalmist just spoke about the man who meditated in the Word of the Lord day and night. That's an sure indication that blessed man has a hunger for the Word. Do you have a hunger for the word? Jeremiah the prophet had a great hunger for God's word. We were singing this morning about the word being the bread of life. Break thou the bread of life unto me. Well, Jeremiah wrote this. He said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. There's a lot in that verse. There's a lot in those words of Jeremiah. Thy words were found and I did eat them. In other words, the word of the Lord to Jeremiah was food. It was bread for his soul. And when he found the word, it says he did eat them. In other words, he had a hunger for the word. There's no doubt about that. He had a hunger for the word, and he said that the Lord's word was unto him the joy and the rejoicing of his heart. Does the word of the Lord bring joy and rejoicing to our hearts? And Jeremiah then said, for, or because, I am called by thy name, the name of the Lord God of hosts. So John or Jeremiah then explains and gives the reason why he had a hunger for the word. He gives the reason why the word was the joy and the rejoicing of his heart, because he was called by the name of the Lord God of hosts. Because he belonged to the Lord. Because he knew the God of heaven. And because he knew the God of heaven, he had a hunger for the word. He loved the word. Is that the way it is with us? It should be. Because we're called by the Lord God of hosts. The Lord has called us to himself. He has made us his children. He has called us to be his servants. If we are one of the Lord's children, then we must have a hunger for the word. And surely if we are called and claimed by the Lord to be one of his own, the word of the Lord must be a joy and a rejoicing to our hearts. Because if it's not, something wrong. There must be something wrong. Remember the words of Peter? 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. As newborn babes in Christ. We have a few babies here this morning. Now, if those babies did not have a hunger, if those children, those little ones, did not show any desire to drink the milk that they're given, you'd be worried, wouldn't you? Mothers and fathers would be concerned. There's something wrong with my child. He's not eating. He's not drinking. You'd be concerned. You'd say there must be something wrong. If we are the children of the Lord and we don't have a hunger for the word, there must be something wrong. Over over in Luke chapter 5, we have the ministry of the Lord. And in Luke chapter 5, we read there in the opening verse, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." But did you notice what we have in the first verse? "It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him," what for? "To hear the word of the Lord." Doesn't say that they pressed upon him to see him work miracles, which had happened on numerous other occasions. People just gathered around the Lord to see him work a miracle. But the children of Israel, the people, were gathered together and pressed upon him. It was a hunger for the word. And such was the crowd that pressed upon him that he had to take command of one of the ships. They would have pressed him into the water. Such was their desire for the word. And you recall the two sisters, Mary and Martha. Whenever they had the Savior in their home, Mary and Martha, they both served and prepared a meal for the Savior. But then Mary left Martha and went and sat at Jesus' feet. What for? To hear his word. Why? Because she had a hunger for the word. She had a hunger for the word. She desired to hear the word. And when Peter said, "As newborn babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the word." The word desire means to greatly desire. It means to earnestly desire. You know what it's like when you are naturally hungry. You say, "I'm famished, I'm starving. I can't wait to get something to eat." That's how we ought to be with the word. Desire the sincere milk of the word. Desire it greatly. Because if we do not, something wrong. Like the natural child who doesn't have a hunger for food, we would soon take that child off to the hospital or to see a doctor. "Something wrong with my child. He's not eating." In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we read there of those who did not have a hunger for the word. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." In other words, the believers in the church in Corinth had been saved for some time and they had not gotten beyond the milk stage. Paul said, he says, I can't give you the meat of the word. Once again, if a child did not advance beyond the milk, it says something wrong. And here the believers at Corinth were still at the milk stage of their experience. And it's no wonder then that Paul said, I cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual. See, the spiritual Christian will want to be taught more of the Word, will have an interest in the Word, will have a hunger for the Word. Do we have a hunger for the Word? Having an interest in the Word, we not only have a hunger for the Word, but we must also have a heart for the Word. Having a heart for the Word means that we will have a love for the Holy Scriptures. We speak of loving someone with all the heart. If a wife says to her husband, "How much do you love me?" Husband might say, "I love you with all my heart." The heart is the seat of the affections. Now, if the Lord were to say to us, "How much do you love my word?" Would we give the same answer? Would we say, "Lord, I love thy word with all my heart"? Because if we want to be taught and instructed by the Holy Spirit, we must have a hunger for the Word, and we must have a heart for the Word. We must love the Word. In Psalm 119, we read there, of course, the whole Psalm is taken up with the Word. In Psalm 119, in verse 111, "Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." Verse 112, "I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end." Same Psalm 134, "Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts." Keep the word with his heart. He loved the word with all of his heart. The word of the Lord was the rejoicing of his heart. That tells us how much David loved the word. It rejoiced his heart. As he said elsewhere, Psalm 119, verse 140, "Thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it." Psalm 119, verse 167, "I love them," that is his words, "I love them exceedingly." And surely the Christian that has such a heart love for the word is ready and willing and indeed prays, "Lord, teach me thy word. I want to know more of thy word." As the psalmist says in Psalm 25, verse 5, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation." Lead me in thy truth and teach me. Need to be taught of the Spirit. And that's why the Lord sent the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons why he sent the Spirit, to teach us. That indicates to us the Lord Jesus wants us to be taught. That's why he sent the Spirit. He wants us to be taught. He wants us to be led and guided by the Spirit in this pilgrim journey on towards the land of promise. But on our way, he wants us to be taught from the Holy Scriptures. Wants us to be taught all things whatsoever the Lord has said unto us. But there needs to be an interest in the Word. An interest in the Word is seen in having a hunger for the Word, having a heart for the Word, and regarding the handling of the Word. That is, taking the Word into our hands and studying it for ourselves. And asking the Holy Spirit, show me. Show me those wondrous things that are found in thy law. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. Paul, in speaking to the young Timothy, a young preacher of the word, he said to Timothy, study. Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman. That's how we're to study the word, like a workman. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. My, those in the church in Corinth ought to have been ashamed of themselves. When Paul said, I cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. I have fed you the milk. I haven't been able to feed you the meat. We haven't been able to get into the doctrines of the word. We haven't been able to get into the deep and the hidden things of God found in the word. Still have to give you the milk. We still have to teach you the ABC of the gospel. That's what he's saying. They ought to have been ashamed of themselves. But Paul told Timothy, Timothy, my son in the faith, study, study the word. Study the word. Be approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the truth. We can only do that with the Spirit's help. With his leading and his guiding. And I must say, that applies. Study the word. That applies not only to the people in the pew, but the preacher in the pulpit. There's no point going on to the internet and downloading a sermon of somebody else and have it all done in half an hour. Man that does that's not studying. If necessary, to get a word for the Lord's day, you need to study for days. In preparing for the Sabbath day, I usually start on Monday night to get ready for the next Sabbath day. Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God. We may not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Those words, rightly dividing, refer to rightly dealing with a matter. It refers to teaching Scripture accurately. Not taking the word and making it mean something else. Maybe to fit someone's own personal views on a matter. That is not rightly dividing the word of truth. That is not rightly interpreting Scripture. That's not being accurate. And that's not being taught by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will always teach us the truth. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 2, we read there in verse 17, for we are not as many, which corrupt the word of God. We are not as many. In other words, Paul is saying there are many, many who corrupt the word of God. They're not being led or taught by the Spirit. They corrupt the word of God. Or the word corrupt there means to deal deceitfully. They are deceitful in their handling of the word. We are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, or truthfully. But as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ Jesus. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God. God the Holy Spirit. Paul is saying that's how I deal with the word. I'm led, I'm taught by the Holy Spirit. Again, in 2 Corinthians, this time chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And Paul says, he says, have I handled the word of God deceitfully? If I don't tell the truth, if I don't preach the truth as it is in the word, what does he say next? If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If the preacher stands up and does not preach the truth, he's preaching to a people who need to hear the truth. He's preaching to a people who need to be saved. And it's the truth that will set them free. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But Paul says, if the gospel is hid, if the word is not preached truthfully, but is handled deceitfully, then the gospel is hid, and is hid to those who are lost. And you've only to read through the book of Ezekiel, as I'm doing at present at home, and the number of times that the prophet was told by the Lord to go and speak against the false prophets, because he said they're teaching lies. They're teaching lies. There's many are telling lies today because they're not teaching the truth. What do they say? Oh, well, if you're a member of the church, you're all right. God will accept you. Well, if you do the best you can, if you're charitable. And we have heard all the arguments. My minister said, one woman told me, my minister said, because I'm a member of the church, I'll be in heaven. Do you know what that is? That's a lie. That is a lie. That is not the truth. The truth is, ye must be born again. That's the truth. The truth is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the truth. The truth is, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. That's the truth. And Paul here speaks about handling the word of the Lord deceitfully. Being deceitful. And not telling the truth. And how we need the Holy Spirit. to teach us. Because, after all, he is the Spirit of truth. And the Lord said, he will guide you into all truth. John 16 and verse 13. So as we study the word, we need the Spirit's help. If you get a good Bible commentary, Matthew Henry, couldn't get much better. Matthew Henry's commentary, Young's Concordance, and a notebook and your Bible, and the Spirit's help, you'll be surprised what you'll learn. Be surprised. What you'll be able to glean from the Scriptures. We all need the Spirit's help. We need him to teach us. For 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10 says, the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Isn't that what the Lord told his disciples? When the Spirit is come, he will teach you all things. And Paul said, the Spirit searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. So we need to do, search the Scriptures. That's what the Lord told the Pharisees. They, of course, didn't have the Holy Spirit to lead them. But he said to the Pharisees, search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. In other words, the Pharisees were depending on their own works and their own righteousness. But the Lord said to them, you need to search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures, for in them you'll find me. But of course, they didn't have the Holy Spirit to lead them or to teach them, so they couldn't see Christ in the Scriptures. They couldn't see Christ. And the Lord said, these are they which testify of me, and you can't see me in the Word. As we've pointed out so often, from Genesis to Revelation, Christ is in the book. We need the Holy Spirit to open the Word to us. Let us see him whom our soul loveth. Don't you love the Lord? Don't you love the Lord? Don't you want to know more about him? Know more about the one that you love? The Spirit of God will reveal him unto us. We'll see that, Lord willing, next Sabbath day. And so to be instructed by the Word, to be taught. There needs to be an interest in the Word, and that is seen by way of having a hunger for the Word, a heart for the Word, be ready to handle the Word, and have a desire to hear the Word. The hearing of the Word. Isn't that the means that the Lord employed with regard to the seven churches in Asia? And to each of the seven churches, each of them, none of them were left out, to the seven churches in Asia, the Lord said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The Lord was exhorting those seven churches in Asia to have an ear for the Word. You remember your days, your unconverted days, you didn't have an ear for the Word. If somebody invited you to go to church or a gospel mission, you didn't want to hear about it. Weren't interested because you didn't have an ear for the Word. But now that we have received the Holy Spirit in salvation, and now we're new creatures, now we are to have an ear for the word. We want to hear the word of the Lord preached. It's important to note that the exhortation that we have given here in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 was given to all the churches by the Lord. So when people came together to the Lord's house, what was it for? For one thing, to hear the word of the Lord. That's why we gather on the Sabbath day, to hear the word of the Lord. That's why we come together. And if we want to be taught by the Holy Spirit, we need to have an interest in the word, an interest that gives us a hunger for the word, have a heart for the word, and we're ready to hear the word. Like I've mentioned a few times before. And I was just going over this a couple of weeks ago with one of our fellow ministers. And we're talking about when we had got saved. And I was saying, I remember when my wife and I got saved. We were making phone calls. We were asking our friends, where can we go to tonight? Is there a mission on tonight? Is there a meeting in some church tonight? And we drove all over the place to meetings. What for? To hear the word. We had a hunger for the word. We wanted to hear the preaching of the word. Preaching that came from the likes of the late Reverend John Wiley, or Dr. John Douglas, or Dr. Alan Cairns, or Dr. Paisley, or Reverend Ivan Foster, the founding fathers of our denomination. We would have went anywhere to hear those men because we wanted to hear the word. We just wanted to hear the word. We wanted to be sitting under the preaching of the word. And when you sit under the word and you hear the word, then you're taught by the Holy Spirit. Because those were men who were spirit-filled men who preached the word. And they had got a word from the Lord. And they in turn gave it to all who had gathered. As we read in Acts 13, verse 44, Paul and Barnabas, when they preached in Antioch, we are told, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together. What for? Was it a pantomime? Was there something else going on that attracted them, that brought them together? No, we are told, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Oh, for days like that again, when a whole city is moved and people come to the Lord's house on the Sabbath day to hear the word of God. And four verses later in Acts 13, we read these words, and they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Spirit of God was working, you see, through the preaching of the word. People heard the word and were converted. But the whole city came together. What for? To hear. To hear the word of God. When the Sabbath day dawns, when the Sabbath day comes around, how enthusiastic are we? How desirous are we to say, praise the Lord, I'm going to God's house today. I'm going to hear the word. I'm going to spend time with my Bible today. I'm going to be taught something today. That's the way it was in Antioch. And notice, they were glad. And they glorified the word of the Lord. Have you ever thanked the Lord for his word? Have you ever thanked the Lord and said, thank God for this book? And taken it and held it to our heart. And thanked the Lord for the word. I remember seeing a video a number of months ago of a consignment of Bibles being delivered to a group of people in some far-off land. And you want to have seen the scramble to get that box open and everybody reach in and get a Bible, and when they got the Bible, they held it to their heart. They loved the word so much. And the people of Antioch, when they heard the word, they were glad and thanked God for his word. May that always be the way it is with us. Let us pray. Lord, come and give me a greater hunger for the word. Come and give me a greater desire. Come and fill my heart with the word. Teach me something today that I didn't know before. That'd be a good prayer, wouldn't it? We go up to the Lord's house. Lord, teach me something today that I didn't know before. And I've often said, if you studied this book for 100 years, you'd still only be at the water's edge of the word. Because in this book, there's waters deep enough to swim in. Teach me those truths that will make me a better Christian. Teach me those truths that will lead me to holiness. Teach me those truths that will sanctify me, because the Lord Jesus himself prayed to that. He prayed for us. The great high priestly prayer in John 17, verse 17. He prayed for us. Believer, he prayed for you and me in that prayer, for he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Isn't that what we want? We want to know more of what the Lord has said. Not just some things. Surely we want to know all things. That'll make that our goal before the Lord takes us home to glory. So for the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, we need to have an interest in the word. Next Sabbath morning, Lord willing, I want to look at the importance of the word. Spirit of God teaching us. And we shall see the importance of the word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most loving Father and most gracious God, we thank thee for the word, the holy oracles of God, the word, Lord, that thou hast preserved and kept. And here, Lord, we have that word in our own tongue. And we think, Lord, of the many dear saints scattered all over the world. And they don't have the privileges we have. And they don't have a Bible. And, oh, Lord God, how they would love to have a copy of the Scriptures in their hands. Just like those that we saw scrambling to get that book of Bibles open, holding a copy of the Scriptures to their heart and weeping with tears of joy. Oh, Lord, give us that hunger, that heart, that desire to ever hear the Word. Write thy word today upon the fleshly tables of our hearts. Again, Lord, remember Mrs. Cairns today. Be with her and the family circle. We thank thee for the testimony that Mrs. Scott left behind. And now, Lord, she's with thee, which is far, far better. Lord, be with Anne and Mary and Jack as they travel. Bless their time, Lord, with Clarence and Adriana and the children. Now, Lord, be with us throughout this day. Return us to thy house this evening. And may thy good hand rest upon us for good. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks, the shadows all flee away. Amen.